All right. Good evening, everybody. How are we doing? Good. If you haven't figured it out yet, my parents are not coming. They had been advised by Pastor that for this year, for their anniversary, they were not allowed to be in services. So they got to stay home, and they got to celebrate their anniversary together, and I think they're going somewhere. I don't know. I found out yesterday at 1 o'clock that this was happening, so it's going to be great. We got a great word coming tonight from a great man of God, so it's going to be great. So we're just going to pray and go ahead and get started. And Father God, I just thank you for the service tonight, Lord God. I thank you that your presence is here, Lord God, that your power is starting to build, Lord God, that as we go through the service tonight, Lord God, that your power and your presence will increase, and we will get a message that you have destined and designed for us to get tonight, Lord God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stand your feet with us tonight. We're going to just take time tonight just to welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. God, have your way tonight. Have your way. We just welcome you in our hearts.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing will compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Come on, join me and welcome him tonight. Sing, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Your glory, God. moments and just spend some time welcoming Him, just giving Him over every area of our heart tonight. God, we just worship Your name. We magnify You. God, we freely come before You tonight. We surrender it all to You, God. Have Your way in us tonight, Jesus. Lord, teach us.
Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness, God.
Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence, oh Lord. Come have Your way. And Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence.
Before I spoke a word, You were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, You breathed Your life in me. You have been so, so kind. Couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, but still You give Yourself away. When I was Your foe, still Your love fought for me. 'Cause You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, You paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind.
Sing His overwhelming love.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending. spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so kind to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. Been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, oh, it chases me down, finds till I'm found, leaves the 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, your overwhelming love. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Come on, sing this tonight. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. He loves us that much. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow.
Precious each one of us is in your sight, that you love us so much that no matter who is the one, that you come after us, God. And I thank you for that. I thank you for coming after the one that needed you the most, God. Tonight, as we go into this last song, I just want you to give it all. Just come. Come as you are tonight.
To your name.
are so thankful for your blood, Lord, and we are thankful that you accepted us just as we were, and that we could come to you freely, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love.
Let's sing that out to him tonight.
Thank you, Jesus, just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love.
Let's stay there.
Jesus, just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love.
Let's lift our voice.
Thank you, Jesus, just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. Thank you, Jesus, just as I am, I come.
Just sit in his presence for a few minutes tonight and just allow the Lord to begin to continue to speak to your heart. God, we're thankful for you.
On. I just feel like we need to take another 30 seconds. I really feel like there's somebody in here who just needs to take these 30 seconds and just kind of rest in the presence of God. I don't know what's going on, what battle you're facing. I just feel like God's really saying that you just need to take a little time and just rest. Understand that whatever you're going through, it's not too big for God to take it and help you walk through it. Handle it for you, whatever it may that you believe in that needs to happen. God's got you. It may not go in the time span that you want it to, but it's coming. Thank you. I get the easy job tonight. I just get to pray us in here, and I think we have some announcements. I'm not 100% sure what they are because they didn't tell me anything.
Men's breakfast is always the third.
Huh?
Men's breakfast is always the third Saturday.
Yeah. Men's breakfast is the next month or the third Saturday. Oh, I got one. We have an outreach this Saturday. Are we going to the same place we were last week? Just the... Okay. So it's the ones on the left? All right. So it's 12:30, right? All right. At 12:30, we're going to meet here by 12:30. We're going to pray, and then we head over, and we're just going to go to everybody's door. We're just going to ask them for prayer, or if they need anything, or just whatever God lays on your heart to tell them. For anybody who's really contemplating coming, just expect anything, because not everybody's going to be receptive. Me and Jason's uncle knocked on a door last week, and we opened the door. We greet him. He seems real happy, eager to talk, and then the minute we mention where we're from, he laughed and kind of shut the door. So be ready for anything. Because then on the flip side, there was a man. His name was Daniel. And Jim knocked on his door, asked him if he needed prayer. And he kind of looked at Jim for a minute. And I could see that there was something in him that knew he needed to step out and talk about it. But there was also something, a little bit of pride of being in front of his family where he didn't want to show any weakness for them. So he steps outside. He begins to tell us how he just got this happened to him and that happened to him. And he was looking at it as a bad thing, as it was a negative thing. But what had happened was he was in a situation where a lot of bad things were happening around him. And he was getting himself back clean, and he was getting himself out of situations that he had been in. And he told me that when he was younger, he used to be a youth leader or a volunteer. He used to help with youth. And so I explained to him that, you know, sometimes what we see as troubled issues, God is using it as a way to push you into a new dimension of who you're supposed to be. And we got to pray with him, and we talked to him for a little bit. And the countenance of this man's face after we were done was just so different. And he may come to this church, he may go to a different church, but all I know is that we planted a seed for this man, for his life to be changed forever. And I'm believing and holding on to it that God's going to put him back into where he belongs. And so that's what happens on Saturdays when we go pray for people. It's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. And you get to be around a bunch of people that are just great to be around and to communicate with while you're there. So without pushing this any further, I think the kids need to go downstairs because they have a message that they need to hear. As Brother Carroll comes up, because he's going to do the offering and the message, and he's just going to preach the house down tonight, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? It's going to be an incredible learning experience. It's the best way I could put it. So. They'll be ready for that.
I won't be very lengthy with the offering meditation, just a personal example. Back in April 30th of 1974, many years before some of you were born, Vicki and I accepted the Lord, and we've been tithers ever since. And he's always been faithful to us. He's snatched us away from the death angel, both of us, and so we're very grateful for that. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to return a portion of what you give us to help with the work that we have to do here for you. We thank you that you see fit to encourage us, that you see fit to provide for us when we do the things that you've asked us to do. I don't know how many times over the years you've reminded me, do not compromise on anything that I've taught you. And I thank you for that, and I've tried not to do that. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for the opportunity again to speak your word and your words. I just pray, Father, that the things that I say will come from you and you'll be pleasing with the way that I present them. I realize, Father, that some things that will be heard tonight may not be exactly what many of us are thinking at this time. But this is what you gave me, and this is what I'll say. I thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. For all of you watching on the live streaming, I welcome you, especially Carrie and Ben. I warned them. Okay, for the past few weeks, Pastor Phil's been teaching us on Sunday mornings about fasting and the benefits of it and the power that we can find in fasting. But I noticed on all the scriptures that he used, almost without exception, it always says prayer and fasting. So now that I know a lot more about fasting, my question is this: what is it that I need to know about prayer? I want to go back a few years. When I was a youngster, my father had a workshop out behind the house. He did all kinds of things out there. And I was always out there asking him questions. And he'd answer them. Sometimes he'd even show me why he was doing something and what he hoped to accomplish with it. And I think he always answered my questions. And I think our Heavenly Father is the same way. He will answer our questions. He will answer them sometimes in a way that we were not expecting. It's a little embarrassing sometimes, or right now anyway, to admit that prayer is a concept that I have struggled with for some 45 years since God told me that I was going to be a teacher. So Pastor Phil's been talking to us about fasting. That's never been one of my long suits either. So I decided to give it a try last week. Chose two things that were quite important to me throughout a week and went on a 7-day fast. And Sometimes when you ask God to fill in the blanks, so to speak, you need to be ready for something that you didn't expect. You need to watch what you ask for. I said to God, "What is it that you want me to know about prayer that I don't know?" And he said, "First, I want to tell you something that prayer is not." He said, "It is not difficult. You make it difficult. If you look at prayer from the way I look at prayer, it is very simple. Now, you may find that what God wants from prayer is some different than what you might believe at this point, but we're going to put this into perspective from God's point of view, what He expects out of our prayer. Notice that He says what He wants from our prayer. Since the beginning of time, all the civilizations have prayed, usually in time of conflict, usually in time when they were down or they needed something. We have prayer beads, we have prayer wheels, we have fervent worshipers flogging themselves, we have some crazy people that even use rattlesnakes, and others that sit quietly on top of a mountain cross-legged. There are many, many ways of praying as there are people to pray. But prayer is a deliberate activity. It's not something that just happens. You have to want to do it. You have to want to do it. And actually, what we're doing when we pray is we're seeking to get deep down inside of ourselves and feel that oneness with God. Feel that oneness with God. Experiencing a part of being a part of God. Not just a few molecules floating around in the air that occupy physical space, but down deep, centering ourselves directly in that creative flow of the Creator. Experiencing things that we cannot experience with our eyes or our ears. This is something deep down inside of us where the Spirit resides. It's God's desire that we pray not to Him, but with Him. He wants to be a part of our prayer. He's a part of everything. He's a part of everything in existence. And as we begin to experience this oneness with God, we discover that we too are everything because He gives us access to everything. We haven't learned to grasp it yet, but it's there. The Scriptures say we're formed in the very image of God. We are spirit, just as God is spirit. We live in a physical body which, when it runs out of gas, goes back to dust. We, on the other hand, do not. Being God's children, we go back to Him. And we begin to realize that prayer is not to fill an earthly need, but like a new car or a new house or a new boat or something like that, but it's to satisfy that natural internal yearning for getting back in touch with our Creator. And through that touch with Him, we're experiencing things that we never have experienced before. For specific things, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with praying for specific things or specific people even. But the underlying need is still our desire to be one with our Creator. Because when we pray with God, we accomplish a lot more than when we pray to God. Does that make sense? Don't all of you fall asleep. Let me ask you this. Can things ever really satisfy our souls? No. Possibly temporarily, but no, it can't. In the past, we may have prayed to a higher power outside of ourselves, seeking for things and outer changes in our lives, but by looking within, we are discovering that the power is omnipresent and dwells within each of us. Let me give you a little example. Let's take a single drop of seawater from the ocean. Okay? One drop. That drop of water may evaporate, and it may be carried in the wind for miles and miles and miles, and it is deposited on a high mountain as snow. As time passes, the snow melts, and that drop of water becomes a part of a trickle, and then a part of a stream, and then a river. Until finally, what happens? It's back to the ocean where it wanted to be. And that's much like our life with God. Because of Adam, we were separated. But our internal desire, even though we many times don't recognize it, is getting back to God. Being one with Him. We are relentlessly drawn back. Even though we fight it, we are still being drawn back to our Creator. Since the purpose of prayer is to know God, the highest and best use of prayer is to state our intention of opening ourselves up to His presence. We need to merge with all of His goodness. We need to merge and accept all of His qualities. God gives us a constant invitation to draw closer and closer and closer to Him, and to draw on the unlimited power that He has. We don't have to pray for certain situations or certain circumstances or to change people. I know probably each one of us sometime in the not too distant past has said, I wish so-and-so'd just get out of my life, leave me alone. He's going down the wrong road. I don't want anything to do with him. And we don't have to pray that he's going to go down the road. But things like that will, through our prayers, will, I can't get the right word that I'm thinking of. What it amounts to is through our prayers, those situations do not change the people that we're praying about. It changes us. It changes our attitude to be more acceptable of those that are around us. Those that we can influence, those that we can encourage, and we then can deal with these people and the circumstances on a more loving and continuing basis. There also is no need to beg God for anything. We already have access to everything He has. Let me ask you this. What exactly is the right way or the right method to pray? Anybody?
There is no right way. You just talk to Him.
Pardon?
There is no right way. You just talk to Him.
Exactly. There is no right way. It's you talking to your Creator. Sometimes it's not even words. Now, I've heard some preachers say over the years that a prayer isn't effective unless it's audible. That's not true. That is not true. God is inside of me. He knows my every thought. Why do I have to speak audibly to Him? If I'm talking to Him and He's inside of me, and I'm walking through the store talking to myself, people are going to look at me kind of weird. So our thoughts can materialize as prayers as well. I'll ask David, how many times has he talked to God out in the boat? A lot of times. Me too. Had some of the best conversations with God in my life when I was out fishing. Because it's quiet. Just the ripple of the waves and maybe a little wind blowing. And hopefully a whole bunch of fish jumping in the boat. Which usually didn't happen. But there is no right way. Or you could say there are many right ways. What works for you is the right way. A lady asked me one time several years ago, what Bible should I use? I said, the one that you can carry with you. The one that you can understand. The one that you can learn from. God is living right inside of us. He knows what we're thinking, and he knows why we're thinking that. And my papers are stuck together. What do we talk to him about? Whatever's on our heart. It's a simple activity, prayer, and it doesn't require any special words. Doesn't matter, as Paul said, he doesn't use fancy words or tricks or anything like that. It's just talking, talking to God. But eventually we'll move beyond words and thoughts to feelings, knowing that we are in contact with the Creator that is within us, knowing and feeling that he's there. I like to call that the secret place. It's a place of silence, a place where you can be totally unaware of what's going on around you. And a few moments in that complete stillness and silence can give you more relaxation than 8 hours of sleep. I remember back over 40 years to the time when I was being trained to serve as a preaching and teaching elder. And we were studying meditation, not the Far Eastern meditation that is so prevalent, but the practice of becoming completely still with the Lord. Learning to allow those persistent thoughts that will go back and forth through your mind when you're trying to be still. If you've never tried to be still, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if you have tried to be still, thoughts keep running back and forth, back and forth. Just let them go. Acknowledge that they're there. Let them pass right on through and go back to your focus on God. It's not easy at first, but it gets easier and easier. And the rewards are truly worth the effort that you put in. I remember clearly and often a proverb, and you won't find it in the book of Proverbs, but a proverb that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Teacher being capitalized. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And how true that has proven to be for me. There are numerous opportunities every day where we can take a few moments and be completely still. I don't know what your schedules are, and maybe I have more opportunities than you do being retired, but it seems like I do more work now than I did when I was working. But I like that time, that silence. And it could be early in the morning for you. It could be during some prayer service. It could be most anything, most any time. But that stillness and that silence is always available. One of my favorite times might be confusing to some of you. Carrie once accused me of being asleep on my feet. I wasn't. But during our worship service, during our worship time, I like to close my eyes. And go down deep, deep, deep into the music to where I feel like I'm actually a part of it. And when you get into these situations, you have a panoramic screen within your mind. We all have it. And some of the neatest visions have come up on that screen over the years. Our minds are fantastic. They won't